Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. So excited for today's conversation because we have double blessings today with a couple who are moving rocks for marriages all around the world. So welcome, Meredith and Craig. Thank you so much for being here and having this conversation with us today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're super excited to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I can't wait to learn more. I've checked out your website and we connected on really cool website called Podmatch. And so we know a little bit about each other, but my audience doesn't know you. So first off, if you would just tell us a little bit about your backstory and the big rock that happened in y'all's life or your marriage that brought you to what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, starts out with, we actually used to work for the same company, which was nice and fun and made life a little easier.
That's how we met.
I love that. That's how my husband and I met also. We used to work for the same company. I was actually his manager for a short time and he drove me nuts. So
good thing that didn't last too long.
Yeah. He left and he became a police officer, left, had a little bit of life, came back and was a different man. It's like, oh, you're divorced. I'm divorced. And you're actually kind of cute. I didn't notice that before. You were just annoying.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. We worked almost across the hall from each other.
Yeah.
We were working for a big company because we ended up there together. Because we learned the same things growing up. You know, go to school, get good job, right. Get good grades, get a good job, get all the promotions, save for retirement. You know, that what we now call sort of the default life path.
Right.
We were on that default life, like check, like meeting all of the external, I would say, milestones for our life that society expected us to meet. And while we enjoyed our corporate jobs, there was just a little bit of something inside that wasn't quite being fulfilled by the corporate job. Like, we felt like we had a little bit more to offer the world, but really no clue what that meant or how to do that. It's just kind of this feeling inside. Yeah. And then one day our company said, we're actually closing this office. And you can either move across the country, get the promotion and, you know, do all the things over here, or you can leave. And so that came as a very stressful decision. We really didn't know what to do because all of our sort of programming to this point was stay and have the stable, good corporate job. But there was still a pull the other way. And so that was a very stressful time. And then right on the heels of learning that we had to make this decision, we found out my dad had cancer and that it had spread and that it was likely going to be his last Christmas. And so that was, you know, not easy to hear. And so we decided we would drive home 17 hours to spend Christmas with my dad. And while we were there, we learned he actually had another cancer, which turned out to be good news. And in the end, spoiler alert, that wasn't his last Christmas. We got 4 more Christmases with him. So that ended up being great. But it was, I include that because it was, you know, compounded our stress, but it also, that was the perspective that we needed to be able to make this really difficult career decision. Because when dad got sick, we realized that we didn't want to move all the way across the country and be so much farther from our family and friends because our parents aren't getting any younger. Craig's grandmother is still around and she's not getting any younger. And so we knew that if we moved across the country, we would see less of our parents, less of our grandparents, less of our nieces, like less of our people. And so that was the perspective we needed to be able to make this difficult decision to actually leave our corporate careers, leave the company. Essentially, what it felt like was jump out of the airplane and figure out how to build a parachute on the way down.
On the way down. Oh, my gosh.
No, we're super
not scary at all.
No, not scary.
Good
and
God.
Not scary that you both have to do it together at the same time.
Right.
Right. It felt like the right decision in our guts. Like, it was the first time I can remember listening to my intuition, but we didn't have a clue what we were going to do.
Yeah, it was super scary. And to your point, doing it together, blessing and a curse at the same time, kind of like it's like you're jumping out of the plane. There's literally no safety net, but also you're doing it together and you've got that person with you who's kind of going through that, experiencing the same things you are. You can kind of lean on each other, leverage each other's experiences. So it was cool. But like she said, we didn't really know or what we didn't have that plan. We didn't know what we wanted to do. So we just said, okay, well, one thing we need to do is we need to replace this lost corporate income immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So like, let's get on that. And so we chased money, and we all know what happens when you chase money. It runs away.
You don't catch it.
No, that never works out well.
It doesn't. But that was where we were. We were in a little bit of a scarcity mindset at that time, leaving behind stable corporate careers with a stable paycheck. And we had to replace that. So we did some research and we figured out what's the best way to do this. And real estate investing came up, and it was like 90% of millionaires can't be wrong that they, you know, invest and make their wealth that way. So we jumped into this company. We hired the coach. We spent the money on the marketing. We did all the things. And we started doing this, creating this business. And we quickly realized that we do not like this. This is not for us. We do not want to be doing this. In fact, it's worse than our corporate jobs. Our corporate jobs, I was unfulfilled in my corporate world. This was leaving me unfulfilled, but also didn't have the financial
benefit
behind it. So there was no paycheck. So it was like a double whammy. And it was starting to become an issue for us, which until this point, our relationship had been like the bedrock, like the foundation. We were very intentional about building a very strong relationship. And the
stress... Were y'all married yet?
Yes.
Yes, we were. Yeah. We were married. And we had been really intentional about building this marriage. And it was the bedrock for everything that we had built. And the stress of this business that we had created, we did not like, was starting to, I would say, just show little chips in the foundation that it just
starting
felt
to erode.
And that's a non-starter. So we immediately hit timeout, and we had a really, really difficult, uncomfortable conversation about what are we doing? Like, what is this? Like, what's our path forward here? Go ahead.
Can I pause and ask you a question right there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because primarily, you know, I always have one guest, so I don't get two opposing positions. So this is exciting, because in situations, especially with married couples, there's two experiences, two perspectives, and there's the masculine and the feminine energy of going into this. Craig, did you feel like you were carrying the burden of, I have to make this work because the responsibility is mine to make sure that we're safe? Or how did that land for you as the husband in this? Because, you know, every relationship is different. But, you know, in my family, my experience, my husband like carries this burden of, I have to make sure we're safe. Like, that's on him. And as the wife in the relationship, I really feel like it's both of ours, like we both have our part, but that desire to make sure that we're okay financially, our home, physically, all of that is just so, that's his driving force, period. Yeah. He doesn't care what he has to do. He'll, you know, scrub toilets or whatever, as long as we're safe. Yeah. Now, once we are, then it's like, okay, yeah, no, I hate this, but
yeah.
Did you have that? Was that like your more of a motivator for you, or what happened with that comparatively?
Yeah. So I think my default is similar to your husband's in that I have that masculine energy where it's the protector, it's the safety, it's the security, definitely. In this particular case, though, because we had built careers like separately, obviously, but have joined forces while we were there and built a life for ourselves together. Like, I have seen, as we've built this marriage, we've been very intentional about being teammates, partners in this journey. So I didn't take on as much in this particular case because we had made this decision together. We were shoulder to shoulder in this.
Yeah.
And that I knew that I was taking 50% of that, or like half of that burden. Like, you know, it's sitting on both our shoulders. So you're not just mine, but both of our shoulders. And so I didn't have that same angst, if you will, that it was all on me.
Because this was a we decision. Y'all jumped together.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
We didn't even consider it not being like when we were making this decision, we've been asked before, did you ever consider one of you staying corporate, one of you like separating to try and build a business so that you had that sort of stability, but also we're building over here? And to be perfectly honest, that literally did not ever cross our mind. It was like, we're either moving across the country together and figuring it out, or we're leaving together and we're figuring it out. There was no sort of divide and conquer and figure it out.
And I think that was partially just a natural reaction because the company was moving. So it was either if one of you is going to stay, you're going to have to move anyway. So
yeah,
that wasn't what we wanted to do. So it was just like, we're all in, let's just jump and figure this thing out.
Yeah. I love it. So it's so, I think, indicative of why your business is working the way it is now, because one of you could have taken another job locally, but it wasn't the instinct. The instinct was a we go.
Yes.
Rather than separate, divide and conquer, it was jump together and conquer. So that just speaks volumes about who you guys are as a couple. Without saying anything, you're saying something.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Honestly, when we had that really difficult conversation, it was Craig that said, okay, we need to have a conversation here because I know how I'm feeling, but I don't know how you're feeling. And we need to sort this out. And we were both miserable in this business. We were the jobs we had created for ourselves. And because our offices were in different rooms, which is not the case anymore. We're literally like almost as close all day long now, but we needed to sort of share really transparently exactly how we were feeling about this new business, because both of us were so miserable, almost in isolation, because we made the decision together. It was almost like it was such a binding decision because we decided it together. Therefore, we will figure it out. And especially him is a, we'll do whatever it takes to figure it out. Like, he does not quit on something until he figures it out. And so I didn't even consider that we would not continue this business. Like, it's just, we agreed to start and we would figure it out. And when he said, let's have a conversation about this, like, I'm miserable. And I'm like, oh my God, so am I. I'm miserable too. There's another path we can take here. And we can, so it was about 6 weeks, less than 6 weeks, that we invested all that money to websites and business coaches and all the things. And then we said, no, we're done with this. We don't want to keep doing this. And so it was a big decision that happened actually quite quickly once we got on the same page with it.
What we realized in through this conversation was we'd left these corporate jobs. We had gotten into this scarcity mindset of replacing this lost income. And we had done none of the work to actually figure out what it was that we wanted our life to look like. We just knew what we didn't want, but we didn't know what we actually did want. And then we also didn't know who we were. Our identity was a little bit tied up in our corporate jobs. And so when you leave that behind, you lose a little bit of your identity. You don't know who you are and where you fit in the world anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to do that work. What is it that we want? Who are we? And who do we want to be? And how do we want to show up in the world? And what gifts do we want to give to the world? Like, what is our superpower?
And so do you feel like that journey was super necessary? Like, you had to go through the what we don't want to really get crystal clear on the path forward and what you did want?
100%. I'm a firm believer, everything happens for a reason. The universe is always working in your favor.
Totally where I was going with it. Thank you.
The universe is always working in your favor. There was lessons there that we needed to learn so that we could go on to the next step. And so that was the lesson we pulled out of that, for sure.
Yeah.
Because no surprise, if you don't know who you are and what you want your life to be like, and you start building a business, you're not going to end up at where you want to be. Because when you don't know where, the odds of creating a business that's going to get you exactly where you want when you don't even know where you want to go is basically zero. So no surprise
you'll end up exactly there. You don't know where you're going, so you don't go anywhere. You don't go where you want. So that's exactly the philosophy of what you just shared, the philosophy of the rock mover mentality, is you move these really heaviness, the challenges, the obstacles, and you keep those brilliant lessons that those things taught you. And we get to choose what we carry forward, what we keep. And so what I hear you saying is we went through all of these obstacles, all of these challenges, all of these hard times, but here's these beautiful things that we've learned that we're now carrying forward. So let's kind of move forward to how you got to where you are today, because you've learned what you don't want and you've realized, okay, here's some things we need to do. What does that look like today? And how are you using that in your current business to help other couples? Because obviously you've taken advantage of those lessons.
Yes.
And you're doing amazing things with them.
Yeah. When we sort of learned that lesson, that first lesson of stop chasing money and figure out who you are and what you want to do in this world, we decided at that point to completely shelve any income replacement. That was never a goal ever again in life. We're done with that. That's not serving us. And so we started just working on ourselves as human beings, personal growth. Who do we want to be? Who do we want to become? Because it's interesting, we could be successful in our corporate jobs without having to do the internal work on ourselves, but we could not be successful in entrepreneurship for ourselves without doing that work. And so that was another giant lesson we learned along this journey. Yeah. So we dove into that because we need to know who we are. We need to know where we want to take this life journey that we're on. And as we were going to these personal growth events, people started coming up to us, sometimes one, sometimes both, asking us questions. How do you do this together? What makes your relationship so strong? How can I get my husband or wife to come along in this journey with me? And we spent a lot of time talking to couples at these events and helping them. And it was a lot of fun, but we didn't think much of it. We enjoyed it, but it was just something we were doing outside of our personal growth journey. And then finally, we're at one of these events and the guy hosting the event said, I want you to speak on stage at my next event about relationships. And that's when we were like, maybe we actually have something worth sharing kind of broadly. We hadn't really considered that before, even though we were enjoying helping the other couples. We hadn't really considered that specifically as our calling on a broader scale.
It's like we were so close to it that we couldn't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
We needed someone else to like, hey, you've got something kind of cool here.
I think that's the amazing thing about our calling is when our calling finds us.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, knock, knock, knock. Hello, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So beautiful. And then you can't deny it because it's so easy. And sometimes the things that we do when we're really in the grind and we're trying to make it work and we feel like we have to do this, we're like, it has to be hard or it's not valuable. And it's like, no, the things that are easy to you are your gifts. That's really what is the gift and what you should be doing. And so I love that. So you got called to speak on stage about relationships, which is not what you had been doing before.
Nope.
And then now today you're helping others with relationships. So how is that for your marriage? How is that for your family? And I know you have a book, right? That you have written together and
writing.
This whole program. Yeah. Writing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not out yet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to help promote it. It's coming.
Yeah. It's, you know what? Especially looking back on the other failed business things, like, such a breath of fresh air. It feels right. Kind of like when we made the decision to leave corporate, even though we didn't know exactly what that would look like, it just felt right.
Yeah.
This kind of when it got played out to us just felt right. And so we started that first talk, we needed to sort of codify what we do and how this works for us and why this works for us. And so that was a really interesting exercise for us to really break down our own relationship, which we had never done before, kind of from the outside looking in. Like, we were intentional about having a really strong relationship and learning the skills so that we could do that, but hadn't really flipped it to look in on it. And so that
to
was
teach
really...
others how to do the same.
Exactly.
That's a different perspective. Yeah.
Very, very different. And it was a really fun exercise to do, to kind of pull out all of the things that we do that work so well for us and build it together in a way that is cohesive and makes sense and the skills build on each other. And then you get into the research of it. It was really fun. And that talk became the foundation for everything we do now. That talk and everything that we do wasn't part of it, but the foundation of it was there. And then we built a program from it, and we took our podcast comes from it. And so, like, everything was born from that one talk and that one, that time of deep reflection on how we do this and why this works so well. And everything has just exploded like a geyser almost from that one talk.
And I would say to further answer your question around what it means for our relationship and our family is, like, it's, when you have to then go internal and really understand what it is you do and then teach that to other people, and then you're more intentional about even doing more of that and then going out into the research and figuring out more. It's like, and it's it's really cool to hear some really cool things that we didn't even know about, but it's also cool to hear the validation from researchers that have been doing this, that these are things that we were naturally doing that work, but you do more of it. And when you do more of it, you actually grow closer. And so our relationship has never been stronger. Even though we always had a really great relationship, it's only gotten better. It's only gotten stronger through, you know, showing others what a really strong marriage is. And then, you know, by naturally doing that, then others in our world who nobody really trusts a prophet in their own backyard. So we don't really coach the people around us necessarily, our families and friends and stuff, but they naturally can see what we do and they can see how close we are. And so it just bleeds in over into their relationship a little bit. They pick up little things here and there and you can see the differences. And so I think our community, the people around us, have gotten stronger relationships as a result of the stuff that we do.
I love that. So personally, my personal experience, I have just probably TMI. I have been married 4 times. My husband and I have been married now. Our anniversary is next week as we're recording this. We'll be 14 years next week. My absolute best friend. We have a fabulous marriage. And we say he was married once. I was married 3 times before. Married super young, pregnant in high school, whole lovely story, but always chasing validation, always chasing something. And when I stopped doing that, it was like my perfect partner came. And now we have this really natural, organic friendship that our marriage is based on. And so many people have told us, you know, you guys have this amazing relationship and marriage, and you should teach others how to do that. And I'm like, I don't know how to teach others how to go through my rocks. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Did you have any of those struggles? It's like, this is just who we are because of what we've gone through. How do I teach someone to care? How do I teach someone to be kind or courteous or considerate or unselfish? You know, all of the things that are necessary to prioritize someone else's well-being. You know, things that make our marriage work are, like, I truly care that he's happy and fulfilled, and I'm able to put my own selfish needs second in moments when I really want to be a spoiled brat and go, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, no, I really care about his feelings. I care that he gets his needs met or that he's happy. And I care about my words and how sharp they can be. And when I really want to just, oh, I got a good zinger and I could really just like cut him to the quick, I choose not to do that. And that's a conscious choice. And in my past, man, I didn't even think twice. I would just be, you know, you hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you back. How do you teach people that? Because that, to me, that's just second nature now because I care. Or I knew not to do it before and I did it anyway. it was a choice to hurt.
So one thing that we've learned on this journey is by going through this, so the personal growth side, going to some of these events and understanding, because really the relationship starts with the one you have with yourself.
So true.
You have to get right with this one before you can get right with any of the others. The love you have for yourself is the limiter on what you can provide to the world. So it's really about doing that inner work and understanding who you are.
That's such a great point.
And I think if you look back on your journey, you probably did in the time between the first and second or whatever those other marriages were.
You just nailed it.
You did a lot of inner work and you've probably found a lot more love for yourself.
You
were more kind and compassionate for yourself.
Definitely gone through that.
You were more, you know, I guess, willing to...
I began to heal me and I wasn't coming from a wounded place in this marriage.
Identify your own self-worth.
And then
you can then go out to the world. And so I think, and then that's like basically the foundation for our program is we need to get right there and then we go up to the relationship.
You totally nailed it. That is the difference, I think, for both of us, is we both came from a time where we were in really broken personal places, healed ourselves. And then it was like, that was the time when God brought us together. Because we say, like, man, I wish we would have met years and years and years ago or had been in this place. And it's like, no, we wouldn't have appreciated each other in the way that we do now because we would have damaged this
Yeah.
Beautiful marriage, because we couldn't have done what we do now.
It's amazing because we feel the same way. We wish we could have met earlier too, because we actually were born 3 hours apart, but we had to meet on the complete other side of the country to actually meet each other. And so we've often said, I bet we've crossed paths, you know, in our older, you know, in our younger years, we probably crossed paths at bars and restaurants in the major city that we both kind of lived around. It's really too bad we didn't meet then. Wow. But then we weren't meant to meet then.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we worked together, he was married but didn't have children. And I was married and didn't have two of my children. Mm-hmm. So neither one of us had babies or anything. And then when he left, they had a child and his world fell apart. And then I had two children and my world fell apart with infants. I had a special needs child and then an infant 6 months, and everything fell apart. And then 8 months later, he came back into my world. And so we both had these little babies and it made everything so complicated. And we're like, man, why couldn't this have happened? Pre-babies. But
so interesting how the universe works. It doesn't miss usually, like really. It's what's meant for you finds you eventually.
When we were standing at the precipice of leaving our corporate jobs, we could never have traced this path to this point.
Right.
Never in a million years. But when you look back on it, you're like, oh, it's so obvious.
Yes.
All the things I had to go through to get to this point.
Yeah,
but
hindsight.
You never could have seen that hindsight. It's beautiful. You could never have seen it looking forward. So there's this surrender or this trust that has to happen, that he always says that the universe is always working in your favor. You may not know it in the moment. It's hard to see sometimes in the moment, but there needs to almost be a trust that I know I'm going through this because there's a lesson I need, because there's something I have to take from this experience that I need to go forward so that I can whatever's next.
Yeah.
And I think having that faith and going through the process of some of the lessons we've learned and understanding that the universe has always been there, you know, presenting opportunities, not always seeming like opportunities in the moment.
Yeah.
But you've gone through that. It helps build the muscle when you're going through something really challenging that you're looking for the lesson. Because in my previous life, I wasn't always looking for the lesson. It was more like, oh, this sucks. Like, why am I going through
it? It feels like
it?
A punishment rather than an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My coach, I will come to her. She's my place that I go to do all the ugly dumping, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of the verbal vomit. That's an awful word or awful phrase, but I do that. And then she just helps mirror back the opportunities when I can't see them.
Yeah.
And she'll say, you know, okay, for this or something better. So that's our new phrase now is we're going through this for a reason. And it's either for now, for this, or for something better.
I love that.
It's always this or something better. And that perspective has allowed me to just shed the burden of trying to figure it out, like trying to make sense of it. Cause I always like to make sense of things. If it doesn't make sense in my head, it doesn't feel safe. And the world right now is really chaotic and it doesn't feel safe with all of the things changing and political times. And just, we have teenagers and, you know, it's just, life can be super crazy. So I'm just so grateful to have met you guys and have this conversation. And I know that this is going to inspire someone that hears what you're saying to want to know you better, to be in your world. So how do you work with, do you work with individuals? Do you work with couples only? What is your dynamics of what you do?
So we work with either the individual, because sometimes we all move at a different pace. So sometimes one person in the relationship is ready to make a move, make a change, and reach out for help sooner than the other person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there's a way that we can do that. But a lot of times we do work with, because we work with a lot of, our network is a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of business folks. And so a lot of times we get to people at the same time, which is obviously ideal. That's perfect world, but that's not always the
reality.
The reality of where people
are.
It's either or.
And most of the time, like the vast majority of the time, when one person is ready to make the move and start doing the work, because they start doing the work, there's a shift in the dynamic of the relationship. Right. And the other person will feel the shift and feel that that person is all in and they're doing it. They can sense that. They will come along. That's what happens the vast majority of the time. Not every single time. Sometimes the outcome is that the person starts doing the work and they realize this relationship actually isn't the one that they're that's meant to be for them forever. That sometimes happens too. But the vast majority of the time when one person starts the work, the other person feels the shift happening and then decides to be a part of it too. So they end up doing it together in the end.
At the end of the day, your relationship is two people. So you eventually need both people to commit to making this better and changing. And if one ultimately just never is going to get there, then that's when, you know, that other option's available to people is like, this person isn't committed to this. I'm going to have to keep moving forward. And if they're not willing to come along for the ride, then unfortunately, we have to go our separate ways. And that happens.
Yeah, that's such a challenging decision to make.
Totally.
It helps, though, once you've done the work on yourself first to understand your self-worth and the value you bring. Mm-hmm. Once you can click with that, the decision, it's never an easy decision, but it becomes clear. It becomes very clear that that's the decision.
And I think clarity really is what we all seek in that, not necessarily all the answers, but just clarity on what the answers could be and then evolving that. So I just appreciate everything that you're doing. You guys have a fantastic website that shares all of the opportunities. We'll be sure to share that. But what's one takeaway that you would love to share as we begin to wrap up the conversation today that somebody needs to know if you're the right people to reach out to for helping them on this gaining clarity or coming back to themselves and really doing that extra work so that they can have what you guys call a 200% marriage?
Yeah, we love 200% marriage.
I would say
let's define that first and then talk about how they can maybe one step to get there.
Yeah, we both grew up hearing and believing that a good marriage is 50-50. And we have found that to be not true. 50-50 creates ambiguity. It creates gray area that if I'm responsible for 50% and you're responsible for 50%, whose task is this? Whose 50% does this thing fall under versus that thing fall under? Or, you know, I apologize first last time. It's your turn to apologize to me. And so 50% accountability for your marriage creates resentment. It creates scorekeeping. It creates defensiveness. It creates offensiveness.
Yes.
Whereas we believe that each person in a marriage is responsible, 100% responsible for the state of the marriage. And if you're each taking 100% responsibility for the marriage, you have a 200% marriage. And when that happens, there is no my job and your job. There is no scorekeeping. There is no you need to apologize first because what you did was worse because that's still scorekeeping. There's no defensiveness because we're both coming in with I'm taking ownership. I own this situation. Let's talk about it. So it removes that finger pointing and defensiveness. And that's what creates a 200% marriage.
Wow. So for someone that is ready to take the steps, what's the best way for them to connect with you, to learn from you, maybe hear your voice on podcasts like this and learn, you know, kind of dip their toe in the water to see, okay, yeah, these are my people. I need to be in their 8-week program to learn more, to really take that next step and transform my life, my marriage, my business, especially if your business partners with your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're on Instagram. I would say that's probably our most active place. It's Meredith and Craig on Instagram. And then we also have the Road of Life podcast. Mm-hmm. We share little nuggets, 15, 20 minutes, just little snippets, little bite-sized pieces of content that people can digest and implement right away. And we release an episode a week. We're on, I think, episode 60 coming up. So
if you like the podcast, like that's kind of us, you know, like
if you
feel a connection with us through the podcast, then I think it would be worth reaching out and exploring because that's the stuff. Like that's who we are. That's, you know, we believe that this is an important, like your marriage, any relationship, because all the skills work for every relationship in your life, but really we're talking about marriage and it's the it's the foundation for everything you build in your life. And
yes.
if your marriage is struggling, you have a, it takes a lot of time and energy to repair and to work on. When your marriage is dialed in and it's thriving, you have that energy to redirect to your business, to your health, to the other areas of your life. Plus your partner also has that energy. It's a synergistic energy now that can propel you forward anywhere you want to go. And so we believe that a thriving marriage really is the cheat code to level up your life. And when if we also believe it doesn't have to be hard, painful, awkward, like there's certainly some discomfort along the way. And we're not saying it's all unicorn and rainbows, but we're saying you can enjoy the process. It doesn't have to be a miserable process to repair and heal your marriage. And so if that resonates with people, then definitely check out the podcast. And if you feel like a connection with us on the podcast, and we'd love to hear from you either on Instagram or on our website or wherever.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. I resonate so much with everything that you've said, and you've even encouraged me even more so. And I just so grateful. And I know that what you're doing changes lives, because I know my marriage, this partnership that I have with my husband, absolutely changed everything about how I felt about myself, how my boys have grown up, the lineage and the legacy that our marriage is impacting. We're already seeing it. My daughter chose a different man because of her stepdad, and they're raising their kids differently because of how she saw me before him and me after him. And so, you know, getting to see that with our grandkids now is just, it just makes everything full circle hit back home, how critically important it is in marriages that love and support and encourage and nurture each other as individuals, as humans, as, you know, teams. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be heavy. And if your marriage is painful, it's okay to say that, and it's okay to fix it or to exit. So
beautiful.
Yeah, and I said
you're changing generations. Changed the trajectory of your generations. Yeah, it's awesome.
And just like, don't even get me started on the epigenetics and the DNA of that, like how we're just, you know, changing DNA strands going forward and literally changing lives. So thank you so much. The ripple effect of what y'all do will never be seen. You won't get to see all of it, but just know the ripples are just spreading. With every podcast you do, with every radio episode you do, you are sending out ripples of change. And that is so important. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful to have known you, and I'll be following you and following the podcast and Rock Movers. Today, the lesson is, again, the same. You are going to go through challenges. You're going to move your own rocks. Just know you don't have to do it alone. You have amazing people like Meredith and Craig and this family, this format to help you through that. So keep moving those rocks, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Rock Movers. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.